My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
That's right, the show goes on. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Dan Wilson with you. Justin DeRozio is behind the glass. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. The show goes on for us personally. We have been putting in the work here on this Saturday and now into Sunday, as you heard me mention to Ricky. Justin DeRozio helped producing the Eagles game on Saturday, producing Ricky's show, now producing my show. He's here all night. I produced the Eagles game, the Phillies game. I'm not tired yet. Let's hear from you again at 215-592-9494. I got you till 6:30 a.m. this morning. And I got a lot to talk about. Eagles preseason finale. I'll talk to Elliot Shore Parks later in the show. We'll talk to Tim Kelly about the Phillies later in the show. But I got to start with those Phillies. My burning thought to open the show here is with those Philadelphia Phillies. And I know they won 11-2 over the Kansas City Royals. I know that the bats finally came alive. JT Realmuto, 2 home runs, career high, 7 RBIs. I know they look great on Saturday. I'm not getting fooled by this again. I'm literally refuse to watch what happened on Saturday and have like any real level of optimism beyond just, in a nutshell, this one given day. I'm not getting fooled by it. I have seen enough on this road trip and how they've played over the last month to say that I've lost just about all faith that this will be a special year for the Phillies. And I want to know if you agree at 215-592-9494. I'm sorry to dampen the mood. I'm sorry to ruin everyone's night. I know everyone's enjoying the win coming off of Saturday, but technically we flipped over to Sunday. It's time to face reality, have a gut check, and look, you know, right in the eye and say, what is this Phillies team really? Yeah, they're a team who can explode, as you saw on Saturday night, sometimes like that. They're a team who can have a moment like the Kyle Schwarber grand slam and, you know, win three out of four over the Nationals, or win 2 out of 3 over the Dodgers and have these big type of moments. And they're a team that earlier in the season looked great, and they were a juggernaut, one of those dominant teams in Major League Baseball. But I have not seen that team for a while here. I've seen little moments, glimpses of hope, blips on the radar, whatever you want to call it. I refuse to be fooled and to be led on optimistically by what I saw on Saturday. I have lost all faith that this will be a special year for the Philadelphia Phillies. I want to know if you agree at 215-592-9494. The first reason that I've come to this conclusion is, unfortunately, this lineup just finds a way to no-show far too often. This lineup, it's an old cliche. It's become a joke on Twitter. Like when the Phillies score, you know, 11 runs in a game, that it's like, nobody, your dad, like, oh, why don't they save some runs for tomorrow? Like, it feels like tomorrow they're inevitably going to put up 1 to 2 runs. The top of the order will look horrible again. Like, they wasted all their offense on Saturday. Like, I'm glad they looked as good as they did on Saturday. That's what they're supposed to look like. That's what this team is built to do. Rob Thompson said it much earlier in the season. This team is built to slug. But far too often lately, and on this trip in particular, this lineup, and really the top of the lineup, has really let them down in a massive way. And they're doing it all at once. This isn't just one guy going on a slump 1 week and another guy going on a slump the next week. This is all at once that this lineup for a while now has really just not been clicking on all cylinders. And if you don't believe me, this was Trey Turner earlier in the week when asked about those offensive struggles, both himself personally and the lineup as a whole. Here's how Trey Turner answered that question.
Just got to get it rolling. I think all of us in general, it's kind of weird that we're all struggling at the same time. Normally when you have a good lineup, some guys here or there, but it's kind of weird that a lot of us are there.
So how do you look at that? Is that like a concern for you guys with 35 games to play? Or?
I don't think it's a concern. It's more weird, for us. I don't think it's anything, we're necessarily doing wrong. We're preparing. We do all our stuff we normally do. We're, having fun. We got a good mindset. We're just not clicking. There's still time left. Obviously, we want to play well. But, it's starting to get to that, point in the season where it's play well or go home type deal. And I don't think we're under any stress or pressure or anything like that. But more so, we just want to play well. We know what we're capable of, and we expect it out of ourselves.
Look, I don't doubt that they want to play well. I don't doubt that they're preparing. I don't doubt that they're trying. But after a while, it's no longer weird. It's just like, this is what the team is, that they're too susceptible to this kind of thing all at once. After a while, it just, you sound like a guy who is scrambling for answers and you can't figure out why you can't get it going, why Schwarber's in a rut, why Harper's in a rut. Like, after a while, that just becomes who you are. And over a large sample size of a baseball season, if you can't get out of that, like, you're just not going to win in the playoffs. You're not even going to, this team is now suddenly threatening to not win the National League East. Like, it's been way too long at this point. It has been way too friggin' long that this offense just has way too many no-shows, way too many times where they're putting up bad at-bats, the approach looks poor at the plate. They're swinging at pitch. They're facing, spin has been their kryptonite of late. I know the curveball machine got brought out this week, but guys are whiffing time and time and time and time again at other pitchers off speed. And it almost feels like, it reminds me of what the Eagles offense looked like late into last season. Like, in December of last season, it felt like the book became out on the Eagles. Like, just blitz them and do it until they find an answer. It feels like all of baseball is caught up to the Phillies. Like, just throw off speed at the Phillies and wait until they find an answer. And they found no sustainable answer to it. It's frustrating to watch. There are so many nights where you just feel like the team has no shot at all. And I'm not saying that these struggles have been exclusively on the offense. On Friday night, Taijuan Walker stunk. I think everyone's on the same page that he can't start again. But for the most part, like in the Braves series especially, you got 3 good starts. And you're just facing off-speed after off-speed after off-speed after off-speed. And it's like, find an answer. Find the friggin' answer, and it's so frustrating to watch. If this is what's happening now, I can only imagine what's going to happen in the postseason. I can only imagine what's going to happen when this team's trying to put together a playoff run, and they need to catch fire as a unit for a month in October. I've lost faith that this is going to be a special year for the Phillies. I'm in show-me mode. It's ironic that they're in the show-me state right now in Missouri. I now need to be resold on this Phillies team. I can't believe in them right now. I refuse to believe in what I saw on Saturday night as like a real sustainable thing that we're going to see moving forward here. I hope I'm dead wrong. I've been burned way too many times, and I want to know if you agree at 215-592-9494. Second reason that I've lost faith that this will be a special year for the Phillies is, as time goes on here, like the more days that we get away from the trade deadline, the more and more apparent it really feels like that Dave Dombrowski just did not do enough to improve this roster at the trade deadline. And frankly, that the moves he did make are not going to be the impact moves they thought. ask yourself, right, I don't know if people have noticed, but like Sir Anthony Dominguez has pitched much better since going to Baltimore, and Carlos Estevez has been far from a lockdown reliever. Did they get the improvement they thought they were going to there? Did they make enough moves in that bullpen? Were they counting on Jose Alvarado to kind of really pick it back up here in the second half of the season? Did they really do enough adding Austin Hayes? Like, I know he's been on the injured list, but it just really feels like that their calculus at that trade deadline, they were willing to play for the long term, not just the short term. It feels like they were banking on Jose Alvarado being someone who he just hasn't been for a while. It feels like they completely overvalued Carlos Estevez. And I was as fed up with as anyone with Sir Anthony Dominguez. But unfortunately, just the way that things are now going in the week since, like, it's not in the close to a month since we've had the trade deadline. Like, it's not aging well right now. It doesn't feel like they really improved their team at the deadline. In fact, it feels like it's gotten worse. Like, it feels like if we were to grade Dave Dombrowski's trade deadline now versus a month ago, the grade could only possibly be worse. And it's really concerning of how that's going to impact this team in September and October. I don't feel like this team got better at the deadline. We got Dave Dombrowski, when he was hired, like, labeled as a difference maker. His resume as a winner in Major League Baseball, a guy who's won World Series, made aggressive moves at the trade deadline. We still have not seen that in his time in Philadelphia, and it's frustrating now that it feels like he, whether it was him or John Middleton or the organization as a whole, was kind of content and a little bit too trustworthy in their own guys. And the guy, the biggest name that they went out and got in terms of a reliever in Carlos Estevez, hasn't even been all that good. Like, he's been a mediocre reliever for years in baseball. He has won, like, well over his head first half of a season, and he kind of banked on it, and it hasn't been aging well. And how am I supposed to believe in this team right now if it's not as if I feel they got better a month ago at the trade deadline? It's infuriating. I think the lineup's inconsistent. I don't think they got better at the trade deadline. And they're both reasons why I've lost faith in this, that this will be a special year for the Phillies. And it's all part of the reason why I'm in show-me mode with the Phillies. My trust needs to be re-earned. It needs to be re-earned over a couple of weeks here. It's not going to happen in one night, in one series, or frankly, even one week. And I want to know if you agree at 215-592-9494. And the last thing here, and I think there's been a lot of managerial discourse, I'll call it, recently on the station, online. And I don't think most people, when it comes to assessing blame for what a Major League Baseball manager really does and does not do, I think it's infrequent, I'll say, that a manager is assessed the appropriate blame, if you will. And frankly, I think it's infrequent that you hear any type of coach get in sports, football coach, basketball coach, hockey coach, get assessed the right level of blame. When things are going well, they probably hardly ever get enough credit, except for maybe football coaches get maybe a little bit too much. But in most sports, probably don't get enough credit. When things are going bad, it's easy to point the finger. It's easy to say Rob Thompson hasn't been doing his job, or the Sixers are, you know, losing, Doc Rivers isn't doing his job, or Nick Nurse didn't coach a good series, or whatever. But here's a real tangible gripe, I'll say, I have with Rob Thompson, and a criticism I will give him that I believe is fair. And to be clear, I'm not assessing the majority of the blame on Rob Thompson, but this is something that I do feel has negatively impacted the team, or at the very least isn't helping. Rob Thompson, to me, strikes me as a guy who is loyal to a fault, who is stuck in his own ways to a fault. And when things are going well, that's great. It's great that the guys in the clubhouse trust him. It's great that he connects with everyone. It's great that he's a well-liked guy. It's great that he has made a lot of moves and done a lot of great things for this Phillies organization in 22, in 2023, and for the large majority of this year. But there are certain things that are just frustrating and hard to get by. And what happened Sunday is almost a good, you know, representation of that. That he's so stuck in the idea that, like, Bryce Harper gets the full day off and we're just going to bat Cal Stevenson. Sure, maybe if you're up, you know, 12 games in the division, that's the type of move you make. But when you've been skidding for this long, when you've been, you know, you're, I'm not going to say your back's up against the wall because you're still in first place, but when you have watched your lead dwindle, you know, day after day after day after day here, there has to be some sense of urgency. And that book you have, like, that you stick to, your rule of thumb, your, like, managerial philosophies, sometimes have to change a little bit. And I'm not only talking about whether he gets a day off or doesn't get a day off, and I'm not only talking about it when it comes to, you know, who's available and things like that out of the bullpen. I'm talking about, it feels like when a guy manages a certain way and you tell other teams, hey, who's on my bench is, like, not necessarily available. Like, if you go the following game in Atlanta on Tuesday, I think it was, Alec Bohm did not play, and you basically told the Braves that Bohm has the full night off. Like, he's not going to play. He's not coming off the bench to pinch hit. And it's one less guy you have to prepare for. It's like you're playing a man down. And when I see, this isn't only Rob Thompson, this is Kevin Long as well. When I see plate approach of this team, when they go up, you know, swinging at the dish, and there was that inning a couple of weeks ago where Castellanos got on base and the next three guys all got themselves out on the first pitch. I understand their philosophy against certain pitchers especially is swing early in counts, but sometimes when things aren't working, you have to go away from what you generally believe in. When there's a little bit of an extra sense of urgency, you go up to Bryce Harper and go, listen, usually I'd love to give you the full day off, but I want to be a little aggressive here. Like, we could really use a win. Or you say to the guys, you know, I know we have this usual hitting approach at the plate, but maybe we go away from that and we try and take a pitch here and work a count because it hasn't worked all day. It's these types of decisions or who's available in the bullpen. Like, sometimes you got to be a little bit more aggressive in certain situations. Or we'll see what he does with Taijuan Walker on Thursday. But if Taijuan Walker does start on Thursday, like, we know that Rob Thompson loves to be loyal to his guys. We know that Rob Thompson loves to be loyal to his fault and have trust within that clubhouse. Like, sometimes you got to be a little bit more urgent and not manage games as if you're just testing guys out for what's going to work in October, which I think he's done a number of times this season. But you have to manage, like, to try and win the game in front of you. And again, it was fine, and no one really cared when the team was up by however many games in the division, 12, 13 games, when you were using Gregory Soto in high-leverage spots, for instance. Like, that was kind of okay because you were playing with a little bit of house money. Now that your division leads down to 5 games, I don't think you have the same luxury to manage that way anymore, Rob. And I think it's frustrating, and I think it speaks to a guy who's unwilling to adapt and change to the situation he's in, and someone who's a little bit too stubborn for my liking. And I think that is the best way to kind of frame my frustration with Rob Thompson. And it's a reason why I've really lost faith in this that this will be a special year for the Phillies. I'd like to believe that he'll no longer stick to that book of his, but I don't have the faith that he will. And I don't think it's the reason the Phillies are struggling, but I don't think it's helping either. So for those reasons, again, the lineup, Dave Dombrowski, and yes, Rob Thompson, those are reasons that I've lost faith, if I could speak, that this will be a special year for the Phillies. I'm in show me mode. I hope I'm wrong. And I want to know where the callers stand right here at 215-592-9494. Now, quickly, before I go to the phones, Justin D'Orazio, who is producing the program, also doing this challenge of a marathon day alongside with me. We'll talk a little bit more about that later in the show. Before I go to the phones here, you know, huge Phillies fan, I'm curious to see where you stand on this, Justin. Obviously, great game on Saturday, but this team has struggled massively. Do you believe, are you in the same mode as I am, in that you're in show me mode, you're not going to be fooled by what you saw on Saturday? And also, in particular on that last Rob Thompson point, do you think my criticisms that I laid out there of this team, what they did at the deadline, Thompson's, you know, managing of this clubhouse, and how this lineup has been playing, is ultimately fair, or am I going over the top?
No, I think everything you said is completely fair. I think this team is very much in a prove it to me mode. Personally, I've been completely out since the trade deadline, since there were no moves made, no moves of value made. And like you said, this team ultimately got worse after the trade deadline. Austin Hayes is a next to nothing move, and Carlos Estevez is a negative impact. You gave away Sir Anthony Dominguez, who I get seemed like he was cooked, but he wasn't cooked like Gregory Soto was. Gregory Soto was someone you needed to just cut ties on. He was a failed trade.
So who apparently thinks he deserves high leverage spots,
which is
also
insane. I can't believe he thought that he deserved a change of scenery.
Nice to think highly of yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. But Sir Anthony is someone who came up through your organization, who's been here for a really long time, has struggled and has proven to get out of it at some point. And I think Sir Anthony's ceiling was too high to cut him, to cut ties with him when you did. And the guy you replaced him with in Estevez is not who you thought he was. They could have went out and got given up a higher prospect for a better reliever, or they could have left the bullpen as it was and tried to figure it out, and they didn't. And I don't know. Part of me thinks that Dave Dombrowski is trying to set this team up for the long run because of what happened in Boston, where they kind of went all in 2018. Because Dave Dombrowski never really goes in on any trade deadline. And then he goes all in 2018, and then they have nothing left in 2019. He gets fired, and they tear the entire thing down, and they trade Mookie Betts and everything to try to build a future. And I think he doesn't want that to happen here. I think that he wants to either retire or move to go do his Nashville passion project and leave the Phillies with a long-term future. But I think you could very much do that and improve this team. And I think Rob Thompson, your points on Rob Thompson are all completely, completely, completely valid. Rob Thompson is either going to win a World Series because he sticks by his guys, or he's going to get fired because he sticks by his guys. And there's not going to be any in between.
He's going down with the ship.
Exactly. And that's the type of guy he is. And you can applaud him for it. And I personally do applaud him for it. But you have to point out the times where it doesn't work. And it's not working. And there's moments where he needs to go up to guys like Bryce Harper. And Bryce Harper, if he's the competitor that he claims he's been, and he's the $330 million player that he claims he's been, then he needs to understand that moments like that, where you're on your day off and a self-inflicted day off at that, you need to go grab that bat and you need to tell Rob Thompson, hey, I'm available.
Oh, you're on the Tom Kelly train.
No, I'm completely on the Tom Kelly train. I was with TK that day and I completely agree. You need to go up to him and you need to say, I'm available. And the same thing with JT. JT, I understand he's off tomorrow because it's Sunday, which I think is totally ridiculous. He's got so much momentum. He had a crazy day tonight. I let him play tomorrow. I don't care that Sunday is his scheduled off day. Schedule for a different day this week. It makes no sense to constantly just... I understand we're creatures of habit and baseball is a mental game, but you can skip your Sunday off day one time.
I'm going to get more into a few things you just said in the next segment. I do want to sneak in a call here before the break here. Max is in Swedesboro. You're at Sports Radio 94 WIP. What's up, Max?
Hey, Dan. Got a quick comment for you. So I'm a Mets fan.
Sure.
I got to tell you, this team is very similar to the 2022 Mets. They was in first place all year. Braves caught us right at the end of the year. We did a 4 seed and got bounced in the wild card round. Look at where Milwaukee is. Milwaukee's right there. So even if the Phillies win the division, if they have to play that wild card series, you have confidence they're beating either San Diego or Arizona?
No. I don't have a ton of faith in them winning any playoff series as of this moment. And let me also just say, I mean, it's already a flat-out, like, disgrace. If the way that this team played all season long, if they have to play a best-of-three wild-card series, I know there's this fake idea people talk themselves into that not getting the bye is better because you don't want that layoff. Like, BS. Set up your pitching staff. Play fewer games to win the World Series. It's easier to get picked off on a best 2 out of 3. The Mets in 2022 are a perfect example. Team won more than 100 games, and their season was over by the end of the week. Like, no way the Phillies should be in that best of three scenario. And to your point, it's a very real possibility, even if they hold on and win the division, that they're the 3 seed and they're not getting a bye.
If the season ended today, they'd be the 3 seed.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too. See, baseball's not like football, either. And the thing is, last year, losing that series to Arizona, I don't care what anyone says, there's a carryover there. Because, number one, they were so much better than Arizona. It wasn't even close. And, again, I've been watching baseball for a long time. When you miss those opportunities when you're better than the other team, you don't usually bounce back from that. And, again, up 2 games, you have the last 2 games in your home park, and you couldn't win one. That I'm telling you, Dan, that is a carryover. It's not like football where you can say, all right, scratch it. The Eagles have a much better shot of bouncing back from last year than the Phillies do this year. I really believe that. Because I'm telling you, this team looks exactly the same way. I was saying it all year. Oh, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. Braves swept us. Oh, wild card's fine. We'll beat Cindy. Nope. That's it. Done. 101 wins right down the toilet. It didn't mean a thing. I would rather be the Phillies of 23, where you win 87 games, you play your butt off till the end, and then you go right to the World Series.
Max, I appreciate the call and the perspective. Yeah, it's a scary thought. It is really a scary thought of where this Philly season could be headed. The 2022 Mets are a perfect example of that. Really quick to your point there, the Phillies have the tiebreaker with the Brewers. Is the only reason I still think they have the bye as of this moment.
I thought they didn't have the. I thought we lost the season series to the Brewers.
So they've only played them three games so far. They swept them.
Okay.
In Reese's return, which is why. So they have a series coming up with them in September in Milwaukee,
which is very important.
Which is they need to win at least. I mean, frankly, they might need to win more than one of those games to just for standings purposes, but for tiebreaker purposes, it is crucial that they win one of those games and get the season series with the Brewers so that. When all is said and done, they get the benefit of the doubt there on the tiebreaker. There's no more game 163. For anyone not aware, it's only tiebreakers. And it could literally be the difference between them playing a best-of-three series and not. So that'll be a significant series. They do have the best already of the season series with the Dodgers. They've played them well so far this year. So they've done themselves well in terms of tiebreakers thus far. But in terms of the standings, yeah, no, Justin's right. Like, they are in a real... 24 hours from now, or not even 24 hours from now, the Phillies could be in the three seed. And the Phillies are in real, real danger of, with a little more than a month to go here, not having a bye, not winning the division, all those things they built themselves up for, and all those times we said, well, they could play 500 the rest of the way and still finish with X amount of wins. They've played below 500 now for long enough that it's kind of undone that. And it's really frustrating to watch. I'm not buying back in based upon what I saw on Saturday. I've seen this before, and I'm in show me mode with the Phillies. I've lost faith that this will be a special year for the Phillies. I want to know if you agree at 215-592-9494. On the other side, I did want to highlight two positive impact players for the Phillies thus far, guys who have struggled for much of the season, who had big games on Saturday night and have been playing better in general of late. I think a lot of the struggles with the Phillies of late have been on the top of the lineup, but two guys further down in the lineup who have actually been holding their own weight of late, and I think it's flown under the radar a little bit, and I want to highlight those guys next. Who are they? I will tell you on the other side. You're listening to Dan Wilson, Justin D'Orazio produce, and taking you to 6:30 this morning right here, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.